The Dallas Symphony Orchestra, James Gaffigan conducting the music of Edvard Grieg, his suite called the Lyric Suite. Originally composed for solo piano, these four movements, Shepherd Boy, Rustic, Norwegian March, the Nocturne, and finally the March of the Dwarves, later orchestrated by the composer Edvard Grieg, and chosen for this concert by our guest conductor James Gaffigan, leading this all Sibelius and Grieg concert with the orchestra. The bookends, music by Sibelius, in between, music of Edvard Grieg, including, before this, we heard the popular piano concerto with Andre Watts. James Gaffigan even has a Texas connection, not only is this his second appearance with the Dallas Symphony. He received his master's in music and conducting at the Shepherd School of Music at Rice University in Houston before beginning his international career. James Gaffigan choosing to close this concert with another work by Sibelius, actually his shortest symphony, the Symphony No. 7 in C major, a very significant work, as we're told by our guest conductor, James Gaffigan.
In my opinion, it's a masterpiece, and it's an extremely journey. People just assume that Sibelius is just intellectual music, just music for smart musicians, but in fact, it's a visceral sonic experience to be in the hall to hear this music live.
And it's really rather compact, the Seventh Symphony, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's called Symphony in One Movement, and it's only about 20 minutes long, but it packs quite the punch.
Have you done all the Sibelius symphonies in the course of your conducting?
No, I wish. I hope to get there at some point. I've done just one, two, and I have programmed three and four in the future, and now seven. So I have yet to do six or five.
Those comments from our guest conductor, James Gaffigan, who'll be on stage in just a few moments, leading the Dallas Symphony and the Seventh Symphony by Jean Sibelius. He'll also have a few comments on the work. James Gaffigan on the stage now for a brief introductory remark on this work.
Fast forward to the end of Sibelius' career as a composer, but not the end of his life, actually. He lived 33 years after writing his last piece of music, and went into, again, deep, dark depression, severe alcoholic. The strange thing is his drink of choice was champagne. I keep thinking about, never mind. This symphony, number 7, is in one movement. It's about 20 minutes long, and it packs quite a punch. It's quite an emotional journey. The very opening begins with the C major scale, which starts on the G and the timpani and continues up to the strings with syncopations between the double basses and the low strings. And then we get to this climax on an E flat. This is kind of an homage to Tristan and Isolde by Wagner. This big crashing chord comes in the third measure, which I relate to, which we've ever seen on National Geographic, these kind of glaciers, like these icebergs breaking off these glaciers. There's this big cracking sound. But then afterwards, it's this calm, this eerie calmness. And there's a lot of that in this piece, a lot of the kind of reflecting nature, this cold nature in this piece of music. Also, having said that, there's a lot of human feelings in this piece too. There's actually a theme represented by the trombone that is his wife. It's quite a woman represented by the trombone. You find in his sketches, his compositional sketches, I think most of you notice that composers rarely sit down with a blank score and start writing. He kept sketches. And this they found later on that the title of this sketch was his wife's name. This appears three times in the symphony, but they have very different accompaniments that go with them. Sibelius, more than any composer, is a brilliant sonic architect of sound. It's amazing how when you're listening to this music, there's depth in it. It's almost a 3D quality of sound. You would never get this at home on a stereo system. So it's a pleasure to be presenting this live to you this evening. Also something that you should know are these little germs of music, these little kind of ideas, like Beethoven has da-da-da-dum, Sibelius has this da-da-da-da-dum, and then it takes on a life of itself. It's like a living organism. It's sort of like watching a character in a Shakespeare play develop in front of your eyes. You'll hear this throughout the piece. Weird metamorphosis, strange things happening to simple themes. At the very end of the piece, we get this blissful C major, but it only lasts about 2 seconds. So unlike Mahler and Bruckner, who celebrate getting to the final chord, Sibelius keeps us on the edge of our seats and then finally gives us what we want when the B in the strings resolves to C, and it's this incredible C major, yet the brass are doing a big diminuendo and the strings a big crescendo. It's as if he lets you look at paradise for only about 2 seconds and then the movie ends. So I hope you enjoy this incredible emotional journey. We love playing it. It's a pleasure to present this program to you this evening. Thank you.